Blog Talk Radio.
Play Sports City Chefs from Amazon Music.
Yeah.
Back, listen, enjoy the vibe. Sip something, light it up, enjoy the ride. Cause the Sports City Chefs is on the night. In the kitchen cooking up, they on the rise.
Sports City, Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Sports City, Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Sports City, Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Sports City, Chefs,
Yes, Lord, we got a brand new president. What? Joe Biden, we riding, I pray you heaven sent. Word from the wise, my people stay ahead of
come on.
I've been relevant, trying to survive the elements. It ain't no love in these streets, these dudes telling it. Case go from cold to hot, state evidence. Kaboom, Sports City Chefs is in the room. Cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman verse MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again.
Connecticut. Keep off this blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside, the kitchen timeless is alive. Good morning to everybody out there in the World Wide Web. This is the Timeless Sunday Morning Brunch. The call-in number is 929-477-2759. We got you locked and loaded for the next 90 minutes or more. You could have been anywhere else in the world, but you are here with Sports City. We got a lot of stuff to jump into, a wild weekend of sports, and we are coming to a closure of the month of June. So summertime is here, and basketball is still around. So that's interesting, and this is the era, shall I say, of the pandemic, but we'll get it to as best as possible. So I'll get one of the co-hosts in here by way of the mountain region of the United States of America. We have Big Easy Eric Gross in the building. Eric, how are you doing? Welcome to the brunch.
Good morning, Timeless. It's always a pleasure to be here on with you Sunday mornings at the brunch, my brother. Let's get it.
In Sports City, this guy has just come into the realm of chefhood and, you know, all the way from the Pacific Coast. That's right. We're getting it from the Golden State. You know, we're getting this new. We got Simmerin Steve Itzkowitz here, and he's a new chef, new co-host here on the brunch, and he'll be around weekly as best as possible, filling in schedule if, however permits. But Steve, welcome to the brunch. How are you feeling this morning?
Hungry for food and for sports talk. Thanks for having me.
Definitely. So I really got two Pacific Coast guys, but one's in the mountain region. So he made a move. He moved from over there, but he's in the mountain region. But Sports City, I need help. I am surrounded by Lakers. I am surrounded. So I need help one way or another. But one is an Angel Reds fan. I work on that, and one is a Yankee fan. So at least I get to break them up in that realm. We'll get more into Steve. You know, y'all know a good amount of Eric already and what he likes. But oh God, I'm surrounded by Niner fans too. God, no, they both are Niner guys. All right. So
all hell the Empire, bro.
Like that. Time for life, baby.
No, I don't like this. This is getting uneasy. I don't feel comfortable. They Cali boys. What could I do? Okay, so I'm gonna get into the fight game first and foremost, and then get into what we just seen this past Saturday, and preview what we have coming up today for Sunday evening, actually. So, first and foremost, there was a fight between Vasily Lomachenko, and I don't want to butcher his name. I've been practicing with these guys on his last name, but I'm going to just say his last name, Nakatani, and they had a fight. And this is the first fight that Lomo had after losing his first fight in a while to Teofimo Lopez. He pulls off a TKO in the ninth round, but I don't know. Well, I do know. I'm going to say it like this. I feel like the ref should have stopped it earlier. This should have not gone that far, but I think the ref wanted to see, I guess, him fight back and make it a fight or do something miraculous. But Lomo, one, has revenge on his mind, and two, some of the punches and blows he was hitting Nakatani with. These were knockout punches, and Nakatani was not falling. He just was just staying up and just taking the abuse in that ring, and Lomo looked like himself. Lomachenko, I give him credit for that fight. I give him credit for that fight. A lot of the fights that he takes and he wins are guys that he should be beating. He basically said at the end of this fight, I'm ready to Lopez. So he wants Teofimo back again. I don't know if Teofimo will go back and fight him again, because he basically said, I beat you. I don't want to fight you anymore. And he did beat him. He did win that one. But you could tell Teofimo, you know, in the later round started to slow down or gas out, however I look at it. But he still ended up winning that fight clearly. Lomachenko basically was caught off guard, and it should have been prepared and ready for that fight. So I think Lopez's next fight, whomever he does end up fighting, if he, you know, head and shoulders against him, I don't think he has to entertain him. But if it's a fight where he's basically edging this guy out and wins it, I'll see if there's a rematch for the fighter that he's fighting, or if there's a fight built for him and Lomachenko to run that back and build some money. Because, you know, this, you know, Styles build fights, and this is more or less of a rematch or revenge for Lomo. And Lomo has a good following behind him, but he just doesn't get that pay-per-view presence. So that's the one thing that does burn him, if you will. Now, there was another fight that went on. And this is two different venues. And this is interesting that Mayweather promotions went up against, like, Top Rank, even though a lot of people are going to follow Floyd and his boxers and things that Floyd does well. By the way, if you were under a rock, Gervonta Tank Davis took care of business up against Mario Barrios, pulls off a win in the 11th round with a TKO. A lot of people pinned it to, like, the body shot, and I think that is what stirred that up for the ref to cause that caution. But then, you know, as he gets up, he tells the ref he's okay, and then Tank approaches him and throws a couple of blows. He throws a clear-cut headshot. And it basically just, it almost floors him. But you could tell once Tank was about to hit him in the gut again, he was folding up, and the ref just waved it off and stopped it. Now, interesting enough about Barrios, Barrios is a title holder and was a weight class heavier and actually was taller than him by 6 inches, and none of that mattered. Tank took care of business and took his belt in that bout in a knockout, a TKO, technical knockout, no longer to perform. And you got to give Tank credit for being able to move up. And there's a lot of new names in boxing that are trying to make names for themselves. And the big fight, I think, is coming up in one of the lighter weights is August, where Manny Pacquiao is actually fighting Errol Spence Jr. I think that is a big fight coming up soon. So stay tuned for that. And also in a heavyweight where you got Fury and you got the Bronze Bomber going at it too with Wilder. Deontay Wilder going at it, too. So those are two big fights, I think, that are coming up within the summer that people need to be at the edge of their seat. I know I had to get that out there because this is the two electric fights for the, I want to say, the main event or the person that people came out to see. I don't know how much of the fights that both of you caught or what you guys heard, but I will try to put this in front of you, and we can move away from it. I just wanted to feed the people this topic first and foremost. I'll start with you first on this one. Eric, how do you feel about either fight or fighters? Whether Lomachenko and his situation winning this fight and trying to address Lopez, or Gervonta dominating once again and moving up a weight class and actually taking a belt off of some a fighter in a different weight class.
It was really good to see Lomachenko to get back up into his winning ways and like a dominant fight, like you said. He landed 59% of his power punches the whole fight, so really a dominant performance. Can't believe it went 9 rounds. Poor Moshi's face didn't look too good after that fight, but you got to give credit to him, too, for sticking in there and battling. So these guys are both tough competitors. And same goes with the Davis fight. I didn't really read in too much with that one, but it was a good night in boxing for sure.
And, Steve, how about you? Have you heard anything or seen any highlights? I'll let you allude to this, and then we'll get away from it.
I did really see the highlights. I don't follow UFC a lot. I'm more into traditional boxing. I've been praying for years that boxing would restore the heavyweight division, because boxing without a heavyweight is like a night without stars. It's not going to work. So I didn't see much of the fight. Didn't catch any highlights either. I've been I got too many things going on right now. I would love to be able to take a whole day and watch one. It'll be easier once football season begins. Football season tends to balance things out because it's Sundays, and then the NBA season begins, and the baseball's in the postseason. I'm more concerned about the Yankees right now and really, really, really intrigued by what's going on in the NBA playoffs despite the lack of presence of my Lakers. So those things have me preoccupied at this point. So I don't have many insights off of UFC in that. I'm not into mixed martial arts that much, because there's a little too much emphasis on wrestling than there is on technical sound boxing, which I think is much more beautiful when it comes to that sport than the wrestling aspect of it.
Okay, fair enough, fair enough. We'll move away from it. So we will jump into basketball, because right now basketball has a heavy presence as we are in the finals of both the Eastern and Western conferences trying to address the NBA Finals as well. So we had the game go down last night, and let me tell you, it was interesting in the state of California, a.k.a. the City of Angels, better known as Los Angeles. Sports City, I'm going to say this here and now, this will be bloody, and I'm not playing. So I want to ask both you, and I'm going to start with you first, Steve, because I need some food out of you. Your thoughts on how this game went down, in which the Clippers have now fallen to a 3-1 commanding deficit in front of the Phoenix Suns. 84-80 was the score.
Well, it was a tale of two halves. The Suns dominated the first half. The Clippers dominated the third quarter, and the Suns outlasted the Clippers in the fourth quarter. It was literally three games in one. I got to tell you, though, in these NBA playoffs, having a double-digit lead in the first half, and this is not going to make any sense, but you don't want to do it, and here's why. I think these teams are trying to win these games in these first halves. The Clippers went up by 16. I think they were up by 11 or 10 at the half, somewhere around there. If you get to 10, you got to get to 20. If you get to 20, you got to get to 30. You got to knock these teams out. And what I mean by knocking a team out is that you put them on the ground and you don't ever let them back up. And the Suns, when they got the lead in the first half, I'm thinking, okay, if you bet the first half, if you're a gambler, that wins in the first quarter, second quarter, that's much safer. If you try to predict these games, understand that the ability to pick and predict these games is the equivalent of being a linear thinker. But these games have been anything but linear. They have been messes, because there's no game that any team is winning wire to wire. So that is a note to any handicappers, myself included, that you can't look at these games as if you're looking at a streak that just goes up and down. There is a lot of detours. There's a lot of twists. There's a lot of turns. It is literally the most literally the most difficult games to predict in these particular playoffs. So when these teams get these leads in this first half, I know they're going to evaporate at some point. And exactly what happened, the Clippers were able to hang in there and win the third quarter by 11 and then nearly come back on the Suns, but they didn't make shots. And the Suns, I think, based on how they played in the fourth quarter, understanding that you have to fall back on defense and rebounding, win playoffs game, because offense in these playoffs is not something that you're going to have in plentiful supply, because most of these games are won on defense, particularly in the second half. So the Clippers coming back in the third quarter was not a surprise to me. What was surprising to me is how ice cold both teams went in the fourth quarter, and the Suns winning the game with defense. DeAndre Ayton had 22 rebounds. He was absolutely amazing. He had more rebounds than points in this game. Devin Booker finally took off the mask, which I think was a smart move. He was more effective in the first half offensively than the second half offensively than the first half. And Chris Paul was Chris Paul, living up to the advice he gives to his son, whose son Chris, who's 12 years old, said, "You got to hit those free throws in the clutch." He was clutch, hitting one free throw another late in the fourth quarter, and the Clippers just couldn't make shots in the fourth quarter. Sound familiar? previous playoff runs. Clippers not making shots in the fourth quarter. Not much of a surprise there, but it was a slugfest. It was literally 3-1 with the Suns dominating at one point, the Clippers dominating at one point, and then neither team dominating at one point, and one team holding on to one, and that was the Suns. And I think the Suns were this for that. And I know, you know, Ty Lue came on to say overcoming a 3-1 deficit is very doable. Yes, Ty, it is very doable. But you're not telling us something we don't already know. I think how many teams? 10 teams in the history of the NBA playoffs, maybe more, have overcome a 3-1 deficit? Yes, it's doable. I would have rather heard him say, we're going to overcome this 3-1 deficit. He didn't come out and say that. The Clippers are toast because the Phoenix Suns have finally cracked the code of the safe for the Clippers, and that this Clipper team loves playing when their backs are against the wall. Clearly they do. They're down 0-2 in the first round. They pull that series out. They're down 0-2 in the second round. They pull that series out. They're down 0-2 in this series, and then they win game three easily, didn't win game four. The Phoenix Suns are ready to make a championship run because they won the type of playoff game that you absolutely have to win if you're going to make a playoff run. And that's my big takeaway from the game, aside from the fact that this game was anything but linear and these teams getting these big leads in the first half. You better forget the big lead. Get a huge lead. Get an enormous lead. Get a lead absolutely impossible to overcome. If you're going to, you know, if you're going to build up a big lead in the first half, understand that you might have to show a lot of what you're trying to do in order to build up that first lead. Then a good team can make adjustments at halftime. And Ty Lue has proven to be effective in these playoffs at making halftime adjustments to give the Clippers a really good shot to pull things out in the second half. So I give the Clippers credit for that, but I give the Suns credit for surviving a game that you have to survive if you're going to make a championship run.
Okay, Easy, your thoughts on the game, especially in the City of Angels. I mean, just your thoughts on the game, because I'm going to get even messier than what Steve just put out.
It's hard for me to praise anything the Clippers do, man. It's a total sin that they play in the Staples Center. Like, when I see that floor change to the Clippers and the little banners of the players go over our championship banners, I mean, it's kind of sacrilegious. But to get to the point of the game, like Steve said, these Clippers do like playing with their backs against the wall. Skip Bayless, you know, flipped out about a call that the refs didn't review an out-of-bounds play. That's only one play, and like Steve alluded to, the fourth quarter was flat for both teams. Phoenix made the shots when it counted, and they played great defense. But it's just a test. Ask the Sixers. They'll tell you this very, very loud and clear, that you got to play four quarters in this league. And when a lot of these teams, we see them get these big leads, and for some reason they take their foot on the gas. Like, I commend Brooklyn in their series against Milwaukee getting it all the way up to 60. That's what you got to do. You got to make these leads almost impossible to come back from and play four quarters of basketball. The Phoenix Suns have shown up in a way that, they're a championship team. Watching this team play, they handle everything, injuries. They can play any kind of game, too. They can score. They can play defense. And what we saw last night, DeAndre Ayton is emerging into a superstar in this league, one of the top centers. And Chris Paul has made the world of the difference. You see DeAndre Ayton after the game saying that Chris Paul has helped make his career what it is today. So I'm happy for Chris Paul, finally going to be able to get into an NBA Finals, possibly win a chip. It's going to be hard for any team to beat this Phoenix Suns team. Devin Booker took off the mask last night. I think that was affecting his scoring a little bit, so he came back alive. We'll see what happens in Game 5. But, it was a good game to watch. It was a slugfest. It was fun, and glad the Phoenix Suns came out on top.
Okay, so these guys saved you because they're being nice to you guys out. Because they're Cali guys, so they're being real nice to you guys. So I understand. So this is fine. They're just now waking up. They're seeing a little sunshine, so they don't want to be too rude first thing in the morning. And my mom always told me, carry, you know, yesterday's problems into today. So I understand how they feel. But not me and not today and not right now. You mean to tell me that both of you gave spills on what happened in that game and didn't mention the two words that deserve some critiquing, shall I say, or spicing up, if you will. The two words are Paul George. And I get it. He is the guy that has to carry this team while Kawhi isn't there. But this past summer of 2020, this team gave you $200 million. And in response, you say, I owe you guys a championship. I owe you guys a championship. This is the biggest contract that you've ever seen. This is some of the highest amount of money that people will ever think of, or a city in America will probably ever get, that you are going to get $200 million in your career, or the standing amount of you being with the Los Angeles Clippers. This Clippers organization has given up over, what, 7 or 9 picks to the Oklahoma City Thunder, and you're put on a stage in 2 different games where you're at the free throw line, one of the more fundamental things to do in basketball, and you are missing free throws after they gave you $200 million. Now I get it. Some people were like, he missed the free throw this game, that it wouldn't have tied the game, but I'm like, it would have made it close. And this is something that he has to knock down these shots. And even in the, I'm going to show you 2 different, you know, body vibes, or, you know, body language, if you will, on that missed free throw. Rewatch that on YouTube when Paul George misses the free throw. His shoulders sink like he's letting himself down. And then just look not too far off to the right on the baseline. There is a gentleman wearing a mask, and his name is Steve Ballmer. And Steve Ballmer looks at PG and just sinks his head and looks straight at the floor like, I can't believe this is happening again, let alone you are home. You are at home. And just like Eric said, okay, they may be covering banners and putting red, white, and blue everywhere, and you're seeing pictures of Blake Griffin and PG and Kawhi and all these dogs. You are at home. What is nervous? Everybody's in there quiet, praying that you hit this shot. They're praying that you knock this shot down, and you miss this shot again. This is still like the same. This is almost like American Pie. I hate to be scriptive like this on American Pie, but people that watch American Pie, you know what scene I'm talking about. And it's like everybody's like, again? Like, again. This is PG again. This is you coming up with the nickname saying Playoff P, people calling you Pandemic P, and you got a point to prove. This is somewhere where you've never been to an NBA final. You got to help your boys even this series out to be 2-2, and you're missing shots and having to go ahead and force a missed shot to try to do some miraculous rebound to get a putback back and do something else. Then they bring DeMarcus in the game, like, okay, he's going to body some guys. He got a rebound, made a free throw, missed a free throw, and when he misses the free throw, he hits the backboard. Wait, here goes another fundamental situation. You know you have to hit the rim, right? Like you know you have to hit the rim. And they take you right out. Now, so then I'm looking at, like, Ty Lue. It's like, wait, Ty, you're bringing in DeMarcus Cousins to dominate the floor because he's probably the biggest guy that they can't deal with, and you're putting him in like, glimpses. Like, he's not getting a good amount of time on the floor. Why don't you use him for a good duration of the game and wear them out? Wear DeAndre out. DeAndre is getting 20-something rebounds in a game. That doesn't bother you at all? Like, you're not going to come up with any adjustments to try to win this game? I'm scratching my head right now because it's making me wonder about what's going on. Like, Ty Lue, I get it. You've won championships with Phil Jackson. You won a championship as a coach with LeBron James. You are on questionable trial right now. Like, I'm really wondering what's going on. Like, do they look at this, like, get the ball out of PG's hands? Is this something that you address and make PG focus more? Like, there's so many questions that I have in front of this team right now, that they are at a 3-1 deficit going back to Phoenix, and the Suns are almost deadly out there in the desert. I don't want to just start, like, you know, jinxing them, you know, because I don't want to over-talk. Because I want to see Chris Paul get it done, and I'll allude to that in a little bit. But, Paul George, you've escaped it. Both of them didn't even mention your name. And I think because all 3 of you are Cali boys. He's from Palmdale, California. These guys are both from California as well. So I get it. They're trying to save the Cali boys. But, Paul George, you will not get any inch of ground from me. You need to knock down these shots. You know Kawhi is off the floor. So you are their go-to. No matter if Reggie's having a good game, no matter if Terrence Mann is having a good game, no matter if you're getting players to step up in different positions to come out there and give you an input, You need to be the closer. You came into the league wearing the number 24. You know why you wore the number 24? Because of Kobe Bean Bryant. That was the guy that inspired you, and he's not inspiring you right now. So this is something that I'm concerned about right now on what they need to do in a situation on where who do they go to close? Is it going to be Terrence Mann or is it going to be Paul George? I don't know who they go to in this time of need because they're going to Phoenix where you got a questionable play out of a guy like Paul George, to say the least. So you hear the dogs. Hey, the dogs are letting me know what's going on. So I don't know how you guys feel about the situation, but I'm not letting Paul George escape any of this. And I do want to look into the lines of, like, Chris Paul actually getting to his first NBA Finals, too, if he could pull this off within the next three. I have people that I know within ESPN and NBA TV that said the Clippers can't pull off a win, but they don't think the Clippers can win three games straight. I want to see how you guys feel about it. I'll probably bring more flowers to Chris Paul because I wasn't able to address that. I'll come back to you on this one, Steve. Your thoughts on what I mentioned, and I'll throw it to Eric as well.
Yeah, it's a fair point about Paul George. On one hand, he was 5 of 20 from the field. He was 1 of 9 from 3. And he missed, you know, on that free three-throw possession. He missed the last one that could have tied up the game at 71. Those are all fair points. And Paul George said he owes the Clippers a championship, but he said that under the premise that he felt Kawhi Leonard was going to be playing alongside with him. So we have to take that again. And by the way, As I'm giving credit to Ty Lue, the Clippers a little bit, I'm doing so because part of being a professional broadcaster is being objective. I am not a Clipper fan whatsoever. If the Laker fan beef comes out, believe me, I will be blasting the Clippers like I normally would as a Laker fan. I'm trying to maintain some objectivity here because I believe when we do something like this, we have to have a level of objectivity. Even if it's something that I don't particularly enjoy, and I don't. So let me be very clear about that. But I will say you have a fair point about Paul George. Where I slightly disagree with you is, yes, the Clippers paid Paul George a $200 million contract. Why did they do that? You said it. Because they traded the house to bring him over because Kawhi Leonard said, I will sign with you guys if you trade for Paul George. The Clippers have to make that move. They didn't have to pay him $200 million, but they did. If you are Paul George and you're offered $20 million, are you saying no to that contract? There's no way you would. There's no way any of us would. That is not on Paul George. That is on the Clippers. And why is Paul George getting paid that amount of money? One, because of all the draft stock they gave up to acquire him. Two, these guys, even in the NBA, 80% of the guys that are making big contracts are overpaid in the NBA. Russell Westbrook is overpaid at $40-plus million a year. He hasn't sniffed a championship. Went to the NBA Finals once. There are a lot of guys in this league being overpaid because they're all-stars. It's a player-driven league. That's how it goes. So a lot of these guys are not worth the money. Not everyone's worth the money like a LeBron James or a Kevin Durant. Guys that have won multiple championships. Even Chris Paul at this point, you could argue, is maybe slightly overpaid because he's in the 40 million plus range. He never got out of the second round in his career until this year. So he's about to go to his first NBA Finals and maybe win it. And ultimately, I think that will allow him to say that he deserved the money that he's been paying. There's a lot of guys in the NBA that are overpaid. That is on the teams, but that's also the byproduct of people like us really propping up the NBA and the NBA making lots and lots of money on that. They could dole out these contracts. But in regards to Steve Ballmer has been determined that ever since he took over for Donald Sterling, that he's going to do the exact opposite. Donald Sterling was cheap. Steve Ballmer has been, for lack of a better word, reckless with some of these contracts. He didn't have to pay Paul George $200 million, but he did. And Paul George took it, which is what any of us would do. Paul George is not a guy that is worth $200 million. I completely agree with you on that. And the numbers in that particular game yesterday, a game you needed to win to tie the game up 2-2, Now you're going back to Phoenix down 3-1. You're playing at home. You have to make those shots. So I agree with you on everything you said about that. But it was Steve Ballmer that did this. And Steve Ballmer, ever since he has come in, has been determined to do exactly the opposite of what Donald Sterling did, what he'd own this team. But Steve Ballmer's got to understand this is not Microsoft. This is a whole different deal. This is a sports franchise and a league that is dominated by players. You have to come in and know that you can't run the Clippers like you ran Microsoft. They are two completely different things. And so I think it's more Steve Ballmer's responsibility of what he has done and how he has handled his franchise. He's a good owner. He's certainly a better owner than Donald Sterling ever was, but he's not a great owner. And the reason why he's not a great owner is because he doesn't really use his head and any kind of discretion in figuring out who he should pay, how much he should pay, and things of that nature. So I think the Clippers as an organization are just snake bits. You know, either they're really, really bad or they're this close to getting over the cusp, and then a game four happens where the guy you need to step up only makes 5 of 20 shots and only 1 of 9 from three-point line. So I completely agree with you about poor George, but it's not his responsibility. He got a $200 million contract. That's Steve Ballmer and Lawrence Frank's responsibility for offering it to him and him saying, yes, I'll take that. Wouldn't you if you were him? So I think you can kind of spread out the blame on both sides.
Oh, I'm not faulting him for signing the contract. Everybody here, I'm not saying don't take $200 million. Please, people, I don't want it to make it sound like I'm telling you not to get the highest amount that they're putting in front of you. If you're able to get the highest amount of value out of yourself, then go do that. What I'm saying in response to that, they gave you that money because they believe in you. They believe in you, and I get it. The draft pick that they gave up, so on and so forth, that's what I'm talking about. The future is you. They gave up every last ounce of their future because of you and Kawhi. So if Kawhi goes down, they put $200 million in you, you can't pull it off. They're thinking that, hey, if you get in foul trouble, you should be able to carry us. You should be able to carry us. That says a lot, just not by, oh, Ballmer just reaching into the checkbook and just saying, here goes a blank check and sign the amount and be fair with the amount. Like, no. Like, they believe in you. And these are free throws, let alone all the other numbers that you just threw out there. I'm actually trying to save him and save face because it's the fourth quarter where I know people that you know, Steve, that we talk to here and there, especially in the barbershop, that people say they don't tune into the game until the fourth quarter because it's money time. Because they know everything counts at this point in time, and he is not pulling it off at this point in time. Like, are you serious? He's 1 for whatever from three. He's 5 for whatever from the field. Like, what? Like, and I'm saving you for the entirety of the game for these shots that you are making or missing at that point in time. That has to be, like, serious that there are other players out there performing better than you. You are the guy that was in the middle of that locker room in the bubble calling out the entire locker room talking about we need to play better. And everybody's like, wait, you didn't do nothing in this playoffs either. This was just last year, last summer. Just you and you guys losing. This was just you guys losing a 3-1 deficit. Hold on. This was just you guys losing a 3-1 deficit. Like, you should be taking a lot of this personal. This should be a revenge tour. Everybody in front of you, you should see red. You should see red. Everybody should get ran through. What? And you're missing shots that you know that you need to knock down. You're getting paid superstar money, and you're not a superstar? Like what else do you need? And I get it. Like, the ownership and comparing him to Sterling, I'm not comparing that to him. And it's interesting that you put partial or percentage or pieces of the pie toward Ballmer, and that's an interesting in-depth conversation as well. But for what they have to go out there and deal with and manage these games and try to win games, it's coaching and the players at the end of the day. And they do have a decent enough staff and a roster to get it done. They wouldn't be in the Western Conference Finals if they weren't at this point in time with what they trust to be here from last year into this season as well.
You're right, but there's a saying that Eric is familiar with, this saying, same old Clippers. Same old Clippers. That's
wow.
What it comes down to.
That's a gut punch. That is a gut punch. So, Eric, I mean, your thoughts on what has been said, and I'll try to point some of this to Chris Paul. I didn't give him any flowers yet, neither.
Yeah, that's exactly why the Clippers 5 years ago were voted the worst sports franchise in all its professional sports. You're giving up all your draft capital, and then you're offering this guy $200 million. You were absolutely right, Timeless. So you're getting paid that money. It's time for you to perform. I can mention, I'm not going to mention names here. I'm going to branch them all together because we all know who I'm alluding to here. The stars from the 80s, 90s, early 2000s, these guys in this league would be getting billion-dollar contracts, $600 million contracts, and have to trade away 20 years' worth of draft picks if they're doing it for players like Ben Simmons and Chris Paul. It's lunacy that these guys get that much money, and they're not on that level. I mean, it's ridiculous. All these other superstars, guess what? When it was playoff time and time to perform, they played. They were like the dagger in the coffin. Bam, automatic. And these guys now are folding in these situations, like we've seen with Paul George, Ben Simmons, guys like these guys, just completely crumbling when it matters. And you're right, Paul George, he doesn't get all the blame here, but he does get a lot of the blame, especially with how he talked last year. And, of course, he's going to say, I owe this city of Los Angeles a championship. Well, that's the Lakers' job. That's never going to be the Clippers. The Lakers and the Dodgers win championships, so nobody really cares about what the Clippers doing. Nobody does, man. I mean, Southern California, that is Laker territory. So it's just that simple. And
then to that
yeah, so it, yeah, absolutely. So it doesn't matter what the Clippers do, and they're never going to win that championship. They're in a serious risk of losing Kawhi Leonard now. He only signed that 2-year contract, and now after this year, he can leave town.
Thinking about that.
yep. And the way things are going, I really see that. He knew that this experiment has failed, and he's going to look elsewhere, possibly coming to the Lakers. Who knows? But I think he's definitely going to leave the Clippers. Ballmer is a reckless owner. You got to, like you said, Steve, this isn't Microsoft. You got to let your, you hire people to do that job for you, the GM, the president of basketball operations, scouts, to make those decisions and come back to you like, hey, we need these players, this guy's this and that. Just not, I mean, I cannot believe when they gave Paul George that $200 million contract. And of course he's going to accept it. Like,
yeah,
no,
it's
okay.
Crazy. I got to add
well, I better, I mean, he knows he's not worth that money. I mean, come on. It's ridiculous. So, of course he's going to say, I owe you guys a championship. Shit, you guys gave me all this money. So, but, it like you said, Steve, it's the same old song and dance for the Clippers. It's just the way it is. And they have no chance coming back in this series. Even if they're getting Kawhi back, I don't know how much that's going to make a difference. This Suns team is – they have the depth, and they all play. They get their second guys in there on the bench, they're all playing. They're playing hard. They're playing to win. They're playing with heart and passion. And they know they're close to getting their first ever championship down there in Phoenix. So they're not going to waste this opportunity, I can tell you that. The Clippers may get one more game out of this, but it's looking very dire going to the Valley down 3-1. I don't see the Suns blowing this opportunity to close it out there. So the Clippers are in trouble, man. And they're in trouble for years to come just from, like you said, timeless. They give up all their draft capital to your team. I think the Thunder are sitting pretty for years to come if they make the right draft choices. But, yeah, the Clippers are in trouble here, folks.
If I could add something to that, TP, before you start bestowing roses on Chris Paul, and I want to bestow some roses on Cameron Payne as well, something I saw on Instagram this morning. But
absolutely.
If I'm the Clipper, here's what I do. One, don't try to exercise the demons of Donald Sterling, Steve Ballmer. It is what it is. Let it go. And Clippers, stop trying to be like the Lakers. Be who you are, and that's going to be a much better point. They cover the banners during Clipper, Laker banners during Clipper games. Like, it seems everything is about trying to keep up with the Lakers. You're not going to do it. They are 17 championships ahead of you in about 50 years of history. Stop trying to be the Clippers. And Donald and Steve Ballmer, stop trying to exercise the demons of Donald Sterling. Just be who you are. And by the way, Jerry West is on the personnel team. You know, he's in the ear of Steve Ballmer and Lawrence Frank. And so I don't know if he approved the deal for Paul George. Maybe he didn't. I'm not really sure. I'm pretty sure Jerry West would not sign off on something like that because I think he would know better. But, you know, Jerry West is a part of that as well. So the Clippers right now, they're just trying way too hard to be the Lakers or the best of Lakers. It's not going to happen. And Steve Ballmer is not going to exercise the demons of Dallas Sterling. He just needs to be who he is and, you know, let that and let the chips fall where they may. And that's all I got to say about that.
Yeah, and one more thing, too, quick thing. The Battle of L.A., and this, it's never going to be the Battle of L.A. They'll never win that. It's at the Battle of L.A., are you kidding me? We got 17 championships, legendary Hall of Fame players. Like, you can go down, like, on NBA 2K21, the old Laker team, it's absolutely ridiculous. You got guys all back from the Jerry West era into... Yeah, and it's, and all these guys are 99, 98, and that's the Lakers right there. You're never even going to be on that level. It doesn't matter what you do or when you do it or how you do it. It's just impossible to ever accomplish. You guys are always going to be the little brother, per se. I mean, that's giving them too much credit, you know, as it is, but that's all that's ever going to be. I'm glad they're getting out of the Staples Center soon because, I mean, they should have stayed there at the sports arena, man, where they belonged. To come to the Staples Center and share the stage with one of the arguably the greatest sports franchise in professional sports, it's a sin, man, and it's not right. It's not right for basketball. Covering up those championship banners and all those legendary players with these little generic flags, like, I mean, yeah, you guys are cool. Look at that. We got championship banners. We got legendary Hall of Famer jerseys up there. You guys have your little banners to try to, you know, I don't know what they try to do with that, but, I mean, it's just ridiculous, man. It really is.
Please, somebody, if you're around Sports City, please help me. I'm surrounded by Laker criminals. I can't do this. This is getting bad. They are gelling. They are gelling too quickly. And this is the first show that they really got together. Please help me. I can't have to going at it like this. I agree to an extent. What are the Clippers supposed to do? They're trying to buy the Forum. they're trying to move all of their stuff
there.
Yeah,
come on.
They have to play the Staples Center. I mean, you guys built the Forum up too. What do you want them to do?
Like, that's gonna work. They're literally going into the Lions Den. Inglewood is Lakers all day, every day.
Yeah.
I'm trying to cook, like sit back. You guys weren't even awake a little while ago. Sports City,
what
I want you to know, these boys needed water, orange juice. They needed water, orange juice, vitamin water, and all type of stuff to get ready. Now these dudes are out of their seats, probably walking around the room, pacing. I don't know what to do. So, like, please, if you're out in Sports City, I need you to help me. These two are going haywire. Now, I get it because I'm not going to lie. I'm a diehard Sonic Thunder fan. But my favorite point guard of all time was Magic. And my father used to always talk about Dr. J and Kareem.
There you go.
And I seen, like, the latter part of Kareem. So it's like I respect what Kareem did to the game. You know what I'm saying? So it's like watching the Clippers try to, you know, mask up what they can tolerate for the next 5 hours, like the people entering the building, sitting down to get all accommodated, watching the game, and then upon leaving, and then they take everything down. I get it and understand where you guys come from because it's like it's only temporary. Why they don't do any damage. But this is why I'm coming after guys like Paul George. These guys are not escaping anything. I'm just for the same reason that you guys are coming after Ballmer and every last bit of the Clippers organization. This is why. You're telling them that you owe them a championship? You're not escaping anything. I don't care what it is. You could go 5 for whatever. You could go 1 for whatever. Dude, the fourth quarter is time for you to show up. They paid you for them to help get over the hump, and you can't get over the hump. Like you have to address this situation. And this is what I said the other day. I said Paul George is going to have to go off in L.A., and then the rest of the team is going to be on playing theater ball because they're going to watch Paul George try to lead them. Now, definitely they're going to have to watch him do this in Phoenix where a lot of the people here don't think that he could do it. So this is an uphill battle, like, on two different sides of the spectrum, approaching the Clippers and their heavy star. And Paul George, I don't want to take the stardom away from him because he is a star. He's potential for MVP for 1 year while he was in OKC. But when do you get back to that relevance? So that's the one thing that I hang my hat on with PG. And I put a good, I want to say like 30% PG, 30% Ty Lue, and another, it's interesting that Steve put that out there and welcoming Steve into the building of Sports City. But, like, what, I want to say, like, 15% Ballmer, that'd be 75, and the rest of the team, because you're not getting good output from the remainder of the team. So I say 25% go to the remainder of the team and roster, things like that. You know, so that's how I address the pie for the Clippers. Now, on the other side of the spectrum, I haven't given him his flowers yet. I do have to look at Christopher Paul. Now, Christopher Paul had to fight his way back through COVID, losing that game 3, and everybody like, well, if Cameron Payne doesn't get back,
can Paul? Could Chris Paul carry this team? And it's like, I'm wondering, because I'm like, I've been hung up on Chris Paul ever since his high school days, and his grandfather died, and his grandfather was 61. He scored 61 points and just threw the ball out of bounds on the last shot, so he didn't get past 61 and just cried himself off the court and couldn't stand up. His father had to hold him up. And I've been a Chris Paul fan since then, even though there's a lot of stuff that he's done in his NBA career that make me feel shaky about him. But I do want to at least see him be like the greats or legends in the game that have at least gotten to an NBA final, whether it's Charles Barkley, whether it's Karl Malone, whether it's Enter star here that has not won a championship or whatever. He hasn't even gotten to NBA final. So that's why I'm kind of like drawing that narrative up for Chris Paul. So for the thing that he was able to do to try to help carry the team there, awesome, Chris. Hopefully you guys get this done game five and don't let the Clippers get any belief, because then you'll go back to game six. L.A. will be more charged than ever to try to win that game unless you guys beat them on their home floor and then force a game seven, and you don't really want to be there to watch that build up, because I've seen it happen just years ago with my own team. So that's one thing. But he was off. Chris Paul wasn't playing a good game in the fourth quarter. Fourth quarter, he was missing a lot of shots that he should have been hitting. Questionable takes in front of Zubac and them too. So Chris Paul was shaky, but he did enough to manage that game, especially while Devin Booker fouled out. That charge call, but he did get fouled. So that's the interesting thing on how these referees do control or damage a game too. So he was fouled before the charge call was called, but they didn't call that correctly, and they went back and seen it differently. But that's an interesting situation. I don't want to say that's neither here nor there, but the referees could take care of the situation. But like I said, CP3, you're doing a good job. Try to seal the deal as best as possible. I don't want to say, seal it now, and then next thing you know, game five. They be like, Tommy, you said no. Do the best job you can, because you know the Clippers are going to come out all guns a-blazing. Everybody's going to have their rifles and Uzis and handguns. They are coming out all guns a-blazing, so y'all better be ready. But if y'all could withstand the storm, y'all should be at the NBA Finals after game five. Y'all should be. You should be. But I don't want to jinx it. Please. I'm denouncing myself, but I feel like you guys are playing good enough ball to get this done. Okay, if there's anything that you guys will allude to for Chris Paul, and then we'll get away from it, and I'll go to you first on this one, Eric. And go ahead, Steve. I'll let you go, Steve. Go ahead, Steve.
Well, I want
to. I'm a big Chris Paul fan, so I'm very happy with what he's been able to do there in Phoenix, and he kind of had a rough patch in Houston. Got blamed for a lot of the stuff that was going down there. Just him and Harden can gel right. D'Antoni, too, was a part of the problem. But that's a different story. I'm glad he's in a place now where he's appreciated, and to showcase this guy's skills. He's made everybody around him better. You got DeAndre Ayton saying that this guy has made my career. They're talking to him about how he's performing and stuff, and all hats off to Chris Paul. So, it's just a great fit with all these guys, Devin Booker, Naughton, elevating into superstar status, and they'll both will tell you, it's hats off to Chris Paul and Devin Booker, too, had a lot of inspiration and help from Kobe Bryant as well. So it's good to see the Suns team doing what they're doing, man. I really hope that they could win it all. If the Hawks get in, it's a great finals. No one thought these two teams would be there at the beginning of the year before the season started. So we're in for a treat either way. I'm sad my Lakers aren't in there every year. We don't make it as a failure because we play for championships. But, we got ours, and we'll get ours in the future. So it's good to see this young team and Chris Paul potentially getting a chip finally.
Somebody please help me. They are going back to Lakers Park, and I'm giving Chris Paul flowers. Please. Somebody help me. 425. Oh, gosh. No, not even. 929-477-2759. They got me giving out the wrong phone number. This is bad. Please call in and help me. Okay, we got people in queue, too. Steve, there was something that you were alluding to, and I'm going to get the people in the queue as well. I wasn't saying it. I apologize to people that are here in the queue. That's all right.
That's all right.
Go ahead,
Cameron Payne. Cameron Payne, I think, deserves some love here. I saw something on Instagram. He was drafted by the Bulls, and the Bulls insider, I'm not sure who it was, said that after the second practice, we knew Cameron Payne couldn't play in the league. And look what he's doing in the playoffs.
No,
he,
we picked him up. Wait. Let me correct you. The Thunder drafted him first. The Thunder had him there for several years. And then they traded him to Chicago. We picked him up. He was supposed to be the replacement for Russell Westbrook.
My mistake. Thank you for correcting me on that. But nevertheless, after the second practice, apparently they said they knew he couldn't play. And I guess maybe Oklahoma City felt the same way, trading him to Chicago. So look what he's doing in these playoffs. To say a guy can't play when he's drafted into the league, quite frankly, there should be a jail that guys like that are thrown into. You get drafted in the league, you can play in the league. Math is not something you can lie about. That is it is unbelievable how quickly we jump to conclusions, you know, in this league and life in general. I'm just utterly confused and amazed by it simultaneously. Clearly he could play. Chris Paul could play too and win a championship. You got to be on the right team. We individualize the sport way too much. When you utilize a team sport, you might as well tell me that 2 + 2 = 5. It's just not something I'm going to give you any credibility or respect for. At the end of the day, guys in the league can play, are in the league because they can play. If you're on the right team at the right time, that's when the elusive magic can really happen. And that's the case for Cameron Payne and Chris Paul. And they deserve credit for hanging in there.
Okay, we do have callers in queue. Calling from Wales in Europe, we have Rodri Jones in the building. Rodri, welcome to the brunch. How are you feeling this morning?
Doing good, thanks, Ty. I thought I'd come in and give you a hand. You got the LA connection up against you. Are you? Just to give a bit of a European feel to it, guys. Giannis, look how he's doing. I can't believe how well this kid is doing in the league. He got a 33.5 point under over tonight as a scoreline, as an individual scoreline. Stephen was just talking about individuals in team sports. I love what Drew Holiday's been doing with him. Chris Middleton as well. It seemed to have a bit of a team thing, but just for what he's done, come from Greece, and what he's doing for European sports is unbelievable. Eric, how's it going? Ty, how's it going? Hope you're all having a good morning. Good listening to you, boys.
Good morning, brother. We're doing great. Glad you can join us.
Thank you.
I'm surviving. I don't know if I'm doing great. These guys are LA attacking me like they literally. They're leading everything back to the Lakers. I can't do it. I can't. So let me stop. I'm glad that these two are gelling in. This is the first time that they talk. So just imagine a week or a month ahead with these guys talking Lakers. And they're both Niner fans, too. So this is going to get really nasty as football comes around the corner, too. It's not good at all, Roger. I want to cry. Okay, calling out of the Metro from the 412, the 703, the 757, the... You know the rest. Aaron, welcome to the brunch. How are you feeling this morning going into the afternoon?
You know what? It's funny that I pop in and hear a bunch of Laker conversation. You know, it's better to hear the Laker conversation than the Knicks conversation because at least the Lakers have something to be proud of. You know, so I salute them for that. Shout out to the homie Villain who's probably not here, but he's going to listen to this and come back for me later. But what's up, fellas, man? It's a pleasure to be here with you guys. Thunder suck, Knicks suck. What's up?
First off, you hear what's going on. You heard the whole conversation. Second off, don't start with me. You guys had the worst record in the NBA, and you're talking. Stop it now. I don't even want to turn this into our team, because everybody's team here is not even relevant right now, and this is what I have to do. Sports City, you see what I'm saying? Like, I cook with Saz on. The best that I can, I try to get these people to get water, orange juice, and all type of stuff, coffee if they need to, and this is what they do when they come into the doggone kitchen. Just shoot some type of insult, and their team is embarrassing right now being a Houston Rockets fan. This is alarming. Like, call the police. Enough is enough. Like, I try. So as you've heard the conversation, please allude to what you've heard from either side of the ball, whether it's the Clippers or the Suns. I don't know how much of you caught of it, but I mean, your thoughts on game four going into game five.
You know, honestly, man, nothing about what's going on right now surprises me because, unfortunately, you know, when Kawhi Leonard went down, I honestly believe that this kind of sealed the fate of the LA Clippers. I honestly thought that with Kawhi Leonard in the lineup that he would present a formidable challenge as a part of a duo to kind of go at the Phoenix Suns. However, Paul George cannot seem to lead his troops. You know, he gets hot for a game, you know, but you're dependent upon cats like a Reggie Jackson to get hot. You're dependent upon Patrick Beverley and these guys to kind of, you know, come alongside you and carry you for a series. And unfortunately, you know, you brought a knife to a gunfight, a pin to a chest in the line of fire, which, let me stop. Anyways, that's what's going on right now because the Suns are clicking on all cylinders. You know, shout out to the homie CP3 for what he's able to do. He kind of made it funny yesterday talking about he doesn't want to talk about 3-1 because he's been on the other side of that before as a member of these Clippers blowing the 3-1 lead. I'm really proud of what's going on with DeAndre Ayton for what he's coming and doing in the league right now. And here's the thing. Chris Paul has been on teams and made them into, you know, legitimate contenders. You know, even as far as last year at OKC, you know, nobody picked OKC to be, you know, I think they were a 5 seed or a 4 seed, whatever they were slated, but no, nobody picked OKC to kind of get to that mark. And Chris Paul took a bunch of no-namers, a bunch of, I don't want to say castaway, throwaway players, unless you want to, you know, Shea is a decent guy, but he took a bunch of no-namers and molded them and got them to play winning basketball, and he's done that at every significant stop. So when he landed in Phoenix, we expected Phoenix to be decent. I didn't expect them to be this good. As a matter of fact, I actually picked the L.A. Lakers to beat them round one. Once they did not, I jumped on the Phoenix bandwagon that this squad is special because it wasn't that they just beat the Lakers. They embarrassed them. Now, again, no matter how you splice it, injuries play a role in that. But unfortunately, you know, I think players make fights. And, you know, who you have available to you goes a long way into how well you do or how well you don't do. So once they was able to dismantle the Lakers the way they did, I was like, this team is going to be a problem going forward, and that is proving to be the case as they progress. As far as the Clippers are concerned, I came in and y'all were talking about the building and them, you know, putting flags above the banners, and I've never been a big fan of NFL or pro team sharing stadiums. I think that it's a certain level of pride, a certain level of ownership that comes with having your own building. I look at it like this, like I have a house, you know what I'm saying? I want to, you know, I'm comfortable in my house. I would be uncomfortable if I was sharing this house with somebody else. If I came in and the milk was on the wrong shelf, I would feel some type of way. And that's essentially what it's like being a pro sport team, and you have to share your home with it. You know what I'm saying? So that's kind of how I feel about it. So you know what I'm saying, man? Who moved my mustard, man? So that's kind of how I feel about it. You know what I'm saying? I think the Clippers are going to be a decent team. You got to figure out what they're going to do with Kawhi when this offseason comes, because all signs look to him potentially opting out and going somewhere else. You know, can you build around PG-13? And, you know, is Ty Lue going to have a shorter lease? I think Ty Lue is actually coaching his ass off. I think he's doing the best that he can given the pieces that he's been given. You know, to go down 0-2 and two consecutive series and come back and push the right buttons and insert the right type of people at the right time to win that series is, you know, is something that we can't, you know, poo-poo at. But at the end of the day, man, this series is over. You know, shout out to the Phoenix Suns for, you know, getting it to the NBA Finals. And whomever comes out of the East is going to be a fun little finals to watch.
Sports City, this is getting out of line. Even Sirius is turning into a Laker, and I don't know what to do. Like, I see the Suns wearing purple, and the Lakers aren't even here, and the Suns are Thanos right now about to snap their fingers and take over the whole Western Conference. Like that's it. Everybody's gone because the real team wearing purple just eliminated the other team wearing purple and gold out there in L.A. And they all want to be Lakers fans. It's fine. It's cool. I see Sirius jumping ship from Texas to California. It's okay. It's okay. But with that being said, shout out and salute to the Suns for doing what they've been able to do through the first four games, getting three and stealing one in L.A. It didn't matter how it had to been done. I just knew it would have been critical if the Clippers lost game three because they'd have got swept. They'd have got swept. I think it would have been hard for them to win game four, and then their morale would have been down if they lost three games straight. So you're talking about pressing buttons and putting people in to play the right way? Well, guess what? This plane is falling, and he's screaming Mayday, Mayday, and pressing every button he can before they crash in the Western Conference. Anything else we'd like to allude to? Because I do want to get to at least the game that's going to take place today and how things are going on in the Eastern Conference and us being on the Eastern Seaboard. Well, at least me and Aaron are. But he's so Pacific Coast right now, you could just tell he's out there surfing on Manhattan Beach or something. So anything else before we do get away from it? Okay, the silence does help me. So we are in the last 30 minutes of the show. The caller number is 929-477-2759, and we have the Eastern Conference Finals going on. Now, in which Game 1 was stolen by the Atlanta Hawks, and I actually did come out in a different setting or clubhouse, if you will, and saying that I see there's a difficulty for the Bucks to slow down Trey, especially Trey going off for a 40-plus point effort, 50% shooting from the field and going off and putting a lot of, you know, people on watch on if Trey Young is the next best thing out east. And that's a whole different discussion. We can have that here also. But looking at the Bucks and the way that they responded, they had to win game two. I think that was, you know, the normal response that you would expect from a team that's ranked higher than the other team that they're facing. And they beat them by, I think, 34 points, if I'm not mistaken. And at one point they were over 40 winning this game. This is the way that the Bucks should have been playing from the get-go. And I think the Hawks felt like they were playing with house money in game two and just accepted that the fact that Milwaukee was out on the run, no need to exert that much energy to get back into this game. We still have a series to play at home. So it puts a lot of pressure still on Milwaukee that they have to go into the state of Georgia and steal a game. So this is impressive that Atlanta's been playing ball like this, because when they played the Knicks, I thought the Knicks had enough defense to slow them down. It did not work. They played Philly. I thought Philly had too many guns for them to deal with. For some odd reason, somebody with the last name Simmons doesn't want to play basketball, and it's fitting. It's a Simmons. But, you know, the crazy part about it is I don't cut you off. Excuse me. I like to give my time back, please, before I yield it. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to Maxine Waters. If you don't know who she is, Google her. You know, so the crazy part is, you know, he hit three field goals in seven games in an entire series. So if they're paying you $30 million, and that's a whole other discussion for another day, because it's a Simmons family member. So shout out to the Simmons family. Shout out to Preston and everybody. I love y'all. You know what I'm saying? Y'all still family to me, but it's just one Simmons that just get under my skin, you know. But that's neither here nor there. So they took care of business up against Philadelphia, and then they get into this series up against Milwaukee. I said, Milwaukee going to crush Atlanta that first game. Atlanta comes out, wins that game. They come back and take advantage of what they're supposed to. It's a 1-1 series. Everything is on the line today for Milwaukee. Atlanta is playing with house money. They're at home, and they know the urgency of them winning this game, but I feel like the light has to go off for the Milwaukee Bucks to win this game right now. There's going to be a ton of pressure. This is a very pivotal game three while it's still early in this series. I want to see how you guys feel about this one. I'll come back to you, Steve. Your thoughts on how this series is going down on the East Coast of things.
Well, you have a really good point that Milwaukee needed to win game two and not go down 0-2 to an Atlanta team that is playing with the utmost of confidence. When you're playing with as much confidence as Atlanta is, location does not matter. I, again, this whole anyone that's looking at these series in a linear or conventional way that's why they shouldn't even be calling in sports shows. It's just not a conventional linear kind of playoffs. Nothing makes sense about it. By sense, I mean what we expect. There's been nothing that we expected these playoffs that has actually happened. And so, you know, the Milwaukee-Atlanta series so far epitomizes that, along with what's going on with the Clippers and the Suns. I do think, here's my concern where Milwaukee. One, Giannis Antetokounmpo is going to need to get downhill. He just can't be sitting out on the perimeter, taking perimeter shots. Chris Middleton's got to be the guy to do that. He's just not consistent enough right now, which means, you know, looking at it scientifically and percentage-wise, he's not going to dominate in his games for the rest of the series by the percentages. He could, and again, these playoffs aren't anything but linear, but he could do that, but I don't expect it in terms of, you know, percentages and science. And just looking at Chris Middleton's playoff history, he's not a consistent playoff performer. That doesn't just magically go away game to game. So he's going to have to take those shots and make those shots. I'm not sure that he will. Also, I also think the coaching matchup favors Atlanta. We're talking about Trae Young, and yeah, Trae Young is the reason why they're in this position. So is Nate McMillan. The way he has coached this team, ever since he took over for Lloyd Pierce, Atlanta has just responded, and Nate McMillan is half the reason why. He has coached his team very well. He has been able to get the respect of Trae Young, who's the extent of the head coach of the floor, and you need that from your superstar, and Nate McMillan will make adjustments. I don't think Mike Budenholzer is going to make adjustments. He's really not a guy that does that. I think he just kind of puts them out there and says, go do the best you can. We'll figure it out. Coaching matchup-wise, I still think Atlanta is the favorite to win this particular series, even if Milwaukee and Atlanta splits, because Atlanta, doesn't matter where they play, they are fearless, and if they are in the game late, Trae Young is going to make a play, and it's going to break the hearts of the Milwaukee Bucks, no different than he's done in the last two rounds to Philadelphia and the Knicks. So I favor Atlanta coming into these next couple of games. It wouldn't surprise me if they win these next couple of games because you have a coach in David Millen that will make adjustments in-game and game-to-game. You don't have that with Mike Budenholzer, and I trust Trae Young a lot more with making shots in the clutch than I do Giannis Antetokounmpo, who is only really effective when he can go downhill. Well, Atlanta's going to be able to wall that off, and they're playing at home, so that will usually favor the defense in terms of calls. And I just like Atlanta to win this series because of the coaching adjustments that McMillan can make and the fact that Trae Young is more trustworthy when it comes to making plays when they're needed to, when they need to be made, as opposed to Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Okay, this gets interesting. I want to continue to throw this one around the brunch right now. Eric, your thoughts on how this East is going down. Can Atlanta take a 2-1 lead, or can Milwaukee start to take steps to put to turn things around to get that home court advantage toward Milwaukee?
No doubt about it. It's going to be a really good series, Timeless. But Steve hit the nail on the head for sure. We sat back on this network when this hiring first went down with Nate McMillan coming to the Atlanta Hawks and talking about, hey, he's got a great young team that he inherited. None of us thought they could go this far this year, but we all chimed in like it's all going to see how he can gel with the players. Can he gel with Trae Young and help Trae Young to propel him to that leader he needs to be? And he's came in and extremely exceeded expectations here, and he has gelled with Trae Young, and he's got this whole team believing and buying into his system, and he will make the adjustments. I don't have the faith that Milwaukee can do this. Now, I'm not writing Milwaukee off by any means, because what we saw them do to the Brooklyn Nets coming back from a deficit to win that series, even though the Nets were injured, limping to the finish line there, but they couldn't get it done, and Milwaukee did and stepped up big when they needed to, and we saw that happen in Game 2, kind of a statement, if you will, shut down Atlanta and won convincingly. So I'm not going to sit here and say that Atlanta is going to win these games here in going back to Georgia. I think they're going to split the series, but if anybody could pulled out, it's Nate McMillan. I think he will make the adjustments. I do think the Atlanta Hawks will win this series, but it's going to be a close one. So looking forward to the game today.
Here's your thoughts on this series, and which way do you think this thing will go, Atlanta or Milwaukee in a pivotal game three?
You know, we use this cliche in sports, must-win games. And I think it's thrown around kind of haphazardly. With that being said, I honestly believe that game two was a must-win for the Milwaukee Bucks. And I think they had to win it in the manner in which they did. I don't think they would have been able to win that ball game, you know, by the skin of their chinny chin chin and to feel comfortable and confident about their chances to go to Atlanta, get a win, or their confidence to, you know, assert themselves as a superior team in this series. With that being said, everything that my man Steve said was spot on as far as coaching. I do think that the needle kind of tilts towards Nate McMillan for his head coaching and his in-game adjustments and his being able to see how an opponent is playing them or defending them or running offense against them and making adjustments kind of on the fly. We've all sat here on this network and, you know, in the clubhouse and literally have crucified Budenholzer for his lack of thereof. You know, quite frankly, if he knew how to coach a little better, in my opinion, I think that Brooklyn series would have been a lot more easier for them than they made it. Down the stretch in some pivotal games, he didn't make adjustments. He didn't understand the matchups. He didn't make the changes on defense, et cetera, et cetera. And we could sit here from now until game three and kind of go through that, but I'm not going to do that. So with that being said, I do believe that the better team will eventually win this series, and that being the Milwaukee Bucks. But, you know, with all signs looking towards the Phoenix Suns wrapping that series up quickly, if I'm Milwaukee, I'm not going to play around with this team. And unfortunately, I do see that this series going at least six. And that's extra time that their opponent is going to have to kind of rest and recuperate and get ready for an exciting NBA Finals. But with that being said, I do think that Milwaukee wins today and, you know, kind of puts the pressure or, kind of return serve to the, Atlanta Hawks and see what happens from there.
I just want to find out a trivia. Do you guys know what team Nate McMillan played for in his NBA career?
Yeah,
let me see. I know he coached the Indiana Pacers. You know, I know he was
He
was a backup to the legendary gloves.
Okay, and what team was that? I'm asking for a friend.
He played with Dale Ellis and Xavier McDaniel, you know, for the Sonics for a number of years.
You better go do your research. You better use Google. That's the problem with America today. People don't do their research. They come out here blindly throwing shots. That's okay. But thank you for everybody that participated the correct way. You know, they gave me the answer that I did need. You know, while other people sit down there in the Keystone State or the Metro or the DMV and the 412 and the 703 and the 456 and the 757, whatever they're talking about. You know, so I'm glad to give Nate his flowers because you want to know what about Nate? That he's been a big piece of the puzzle when he was in Seattle, and I loved him when he was there. I was mad that he didn't play in the 96 finals due to a hap injury, and he didn't play. But ever since he became a coach, it's like I always wanted him to get his way because I've always felt attached to him because he was a Sonic. And everywhere he's gone, he's made a change, but he never really gotten over the hump. He would get teams to the playoffs, and they couldn't get over the hump, whether it was in Portland, whether it was in Indy. Now he's gotten his situation going right now in Atlanta, and this is outside of them getting rid of a coach. And it's like, wow, of a job for you to pick this up while they got rid of the coach and you guys are in front of it where you guys are in Eastern Conference Final where you guys can push Atlanta to a final that they haven't been to in decades with a Z, forget S, right? So I'm looking at this, but the way that they got blown out, I feel like Milwaukee may build up a good amount of confidence going into Georgia. But then again, it's like if they could continue to build energy up off of that crowd, and the, I think the biggest X factor of the entire playoffs, I'm saying it's here and now, if Bogdanovich could step up and play the ball that he's played in those first two series, that this could help Atlanta. So this is a very good, interesting matchup that we have going on right here. I love it. And the other side of the fence is, of course, you know, Giannis is going to be their guy. He's the constant that people have to try to figure out. And Chris Middleton, I'm no longer buying this anymore. You can't be up and down for your career. Your career cannot look like this. It can't look like this. You got to be better than this for you to be the other all-star. You're the other all-star on the team. You got to step up and do this. Drew Holiday had his best game, game one. Thank goodness Milwaukee turned the thing around to make this a 1-1 situation because they almost lost everything while Drew finally turned his game on. I put a whole bunch of this weight on the shoulders of Budenholzer, not only to make adjustments, but just imagine that there's a thirsty or bloodthirsty organization in Georgia named the Atlanta Hawks. They had just gotten rid of you because of you not making these adjustments, of you having some of the best teams that they've seen in the Eastern Conference, and you guys falling flat with that Atlanta Hawks team when Joe Johnson and them were down there, and you guys could not get off the ground at all. They just got rid of you because of you. So you have to go into your old crib, your old house where your key card doesn't work. You don't know the password. You have to get treated like a guest where you ran the show just a couple years back and try to pull this off in front of a bunch of people that don't believe in you. And this is a lot because I feel awkward about Coach Budenholzer, even though the job that he's done this season to get Milwaukee to where they are right now. I question Budenholzer at this point in time, too. But you have a lot of pressure on you not only to get this figured out with an MVP / Defensive Player of the Year / a freak / at every other superlative I could add to Giannis, you know what I'm saying? And them having a ton of guns, and they feel like they're playing with house money, and they have confidence that they can beat you. They've beaten you on your own home floor, and you are the coach that have not made those adjustments in those point in time. So I put a lot of this on Budenholzer, but like, again, I'm looking at Chris Middleton. You have to be the other guy to step outside of Giannis to help out. Drew Holiday is finally awakened in his run that the Bucks are on to. Yeah, like Giannis, I don't even have to worry about. I mean, the only thing I'm worried about is if he can hit jump shots or not draw charges, like this, those little things that Giannis has to stay clear of, and it's hard because of the way he plays ball right now. But I think Atlanta's okay. I think Milwaukee can do it too. This is a very pivotal game four, like I said. Game three, excuse me, like I said. So anything else that you guys would like to allude to or for what I said?
Yeah, you haven't come to me yet. I was going to say, coming into that game Friday, Drew Holiday, Brook Lopez, and Pat Cunningham, we know it to be seen. They were 9-12 from three-point range on Friday. So if they can fix that, they got a shot. I mean, they got a chance. That's where it is for me. It's hitting them three-pointers, and then you can let Giannis be a monster underneath them from the three-point line. If he can get in underneath that three-point line and just attack the basket, they're gonna be tough to stop. But like I said, they beat the Brooklyn Nets. I mean, this is. Nick McMillan can make all the changes he wants. You're not going to stop that if they get that going. I mean, Giannis is that good. I think he's just that much of a freak. And I'm also going to ask you guys about the Olympics. What's happening in the Olympics? Will we see Giannis playing for Greece in the Olympics? Or are they not?
I'm not going to watch the Olympics at all. No one can cheer. No one can. The Olympics are probably going to be really boring from an atmospheric standpoint. I don't plan on watching the Olympics whatsoever. The IOC right now is – I'd like to put those guys in front of a fire in my mind at this point. I cannot believe the crap that they are pulling for these Olympics and participation. It's insane.
Mm. Yeah, sorry, Ty, to cut off there.
No, finish. No. Don't worry about me. Like you got your thing going. Go ahead. I just know – that the Olympics kind of actually, you know, we could spill right into the Olympics if you want to, if we're all clear on the Eastern Conference, and because we only got like 10 minutes left. The way that the Olympics are going to go down, one, I feel a certain way about Team USA. Some of the people that they have on the roster is interesting. Two, how the Olympics don't want people to kneel and things of that nature. That's another thing, too. But I don't know if that's a good temperature to carry.
I just don't think they get what it's about. I was trying to explain to people the other day here in the UK what the old protest thing is about. And it's just, you know, the ignorance, the level of ignorance over here is just unbelievable. I really don't think it's a good idea that, like, from a media point of view as well, that it's just introduced you guys in the States, because nobody gets what it's about, yeah. And you know, you're getting all these people saying ridiculous things. It's quite frustrating, to be honest, though, more than anything. And I know you guys will be frustrated with it, so I just don't know what's going to happen. I don't know who's coaching the Olympics. I don't know who's going. It's going to be interesting.
And like I said, you know, with everything that's going on with the temperature of the United States is one thing, but two, the crazy part about everything that's going on with this roster, I feel like Draymond Green is a mistake to put on this team. I feel like he will get inside himself and feel like he's bigger than the team. And the Kevin Love situation of the past 4 years, I don't even want to just talk about this year. The past 4 years, you have not seen him do anything in the league, let alone what he did this year. He sat out almost the entirety of the season, came back, did not like what was going on in Cleveland, and that one play, I do not care what anybody says. I'm holding this to a one-play standard. This guy got so mad at what happened on the floor that he inbounds the ball. When the referee throws him the ball, he just slaps the ball inbound and lets Toronto get the ball and score a bucket in front of him. Like, he does not care. I don't want to see him play basketball. And that happened just a few months ago. And you put him on Team USA for what? For what? I can think of 3 to 4 bigs in the league right now that could be on Team USA to help us bring this back. I do not want that loser mentality. And knowing that he, and Lord forgive me if I'm saying the wrong thing, but knowing he has mental health issues and it's clearly showing, don't put him on that plane. Do not put him on that plane at all. He did not earn it or deserve it. You're putting him there for what? For what? I'm not buying that at all. So I feel a certain way about that, about Kevin Love, Draymond Green. There was people were picking at Jeremy Grant. I feel that Jeremy Grant plays defense, but there's other threes that they could have gone with that could have gone for Team USA to represent the country.
Well, were any of the primo threes available, TP? I think they're putting those guys on the team out of necessity more. I think a lot of guys don't want to play. Is that fair?
Threes like that they could have found other than the big names?
Probably.
Like, I get it, Steph Curry didn't want to play. Like
probably,
there are names that... I can't hear you, Steve.
They're on there more by necessity than preference.
I feel like they could find a better big than Kevin Love. To me, I feel like they could find a better three than Jeremy Grant. And I'm not just saying superstar. I'm not aiming for the big dogs. Like, there are better players across the country that I feel that could represent. Or hell, if they want to go back, they could get a college player if they want. They did it with Christian Leighton. Christian Leighton sat the bench on the Dream Team. And Shaquille O'Neal in the Live of the Morning with players that they could have used there, too.
Fair.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, I'm sorry. I cook with Saz on. I get a little spicy for these guys. I don't want to, and they've already gelled in front of me. Eric, anything that you'd like to add to this?
I think everybody pretty much touched on it. So it's going to be interesting to see. I'll tell you that. So we'll just have to see what happens. But I definitely agree, Kevin Love. What are they thinking? So there's a lot better options. And it may not be pretty for Team USA.
By the way, a side note about the Atlanta Hawks, and I just realized Mike Budenholzer coached the Hawks. He was coach of the year after 2015 when he led them to 60 wins, but lost to LeBron. and the Cavs in the second round. If I forgot that Budenholzer coached the Hawks. They turned that roster over completely. There's no member of this Hawks team that was a member of that Hawks team. And the Hawks might stick it to Mike Budenholzer after firing him. That's an interesting storyline. I didn't even I just realized that he used to coach the Hawks actually before he ended up with in Milwaukee. So Mike Budenholzer may be snake bit in this series.
Yeah, I tried to mention that. I hope did you guys hear me when I said? I hope so. I'm trying. But those are the issues that they're going to face going into Tokyo, and knowing I don't know what they're going to try to do to pull together and band together if they're meeting these issues. And I hope Draymond doesn't get into it with a Kevin Durant in the midst of this, because knowing that how things went down while they were in Golden State. That's one thing. Jeremy Grant, I think this was his best year, statistically playing for Detroit, but it's, the Pistons, the way that they've been, letting that area down playing basketball. Everybody's been going there, basically just going through the motions at the end of the day. But that's all I really got right here, especially on the Olympics. I'll get closeouts from each of you. Thank you for all of you guys participating, even across the pond. I'll start with you first, Mr. Jones. Dragon Kid, I get a close out. Anything that you like to promote as we shut the doors here at the brunch?
Oh, good show, guys. Good listening to you. It's going to make watching those games easy, better for me listening to you boys talking about it. So give me a bit of inspiration to sit down and actually watch it. That Christian Laettner, what a documentary that was, that 30 for 30 when he went on that with the Dream Team. Just John Stockton and Michael Jordan walking around like Paris. They were walking around Paris and just being recognized more than they'd ever thought. It was just what a time in life. But we got AFC North tomorrow and tomorrow night on the NFL show with Sports City Chefs. I'll be hosting with James Greenwood. Sirius, if you're coming on, great. We'll have some fun tomorrow. Got a good show written out for us, and we're gonna have some fun with that as we close in on this, getting closer to this NFL season. Coming into camps. Two San Francisco fans, that's interesting. I'll make a mental note of that. TP, I know you're Detroit loud and proud, and interesting to see what they're up to up there with Dan Campbell. But great listening to you guys. Looking forward to these basketball games as we close in on the Olympics, which hopefully looking to do a little thing for the chefs on that as well. So excited about that. I just wondered if, like you said, the players don't want it that much. How much does the Olympics mean these days? I mean, it's just, to me, it's not like it used to be at all. And I just think players are playing too much, if that's ridiculous to say. But I just think in all across sports, even with soccer, I'm watching European Cup, and it's like, sponsorships and money and business is overtaking the sport a little bit too much for me. And I think something needs to be done about that. But anyway, thanks for having me on. Great listening to you guys. All the best.
North tomorrow, huh? I might have to come in and talk some junk about Lamar Jackson. That's crazy that I've actually been having an argument with people saying that Lamar Jackson is garbage. So stay tuned to that. I'll be in the kitchen tomorrow. But definitely dive to that tomorrow. We got
they're
Steve
on
here.
Glue timeless if they're saying that.
Oh, buckle up. I'll give you pointers on how these people attack him, that's for sure. Steve, give me a plug, close out, shout out, anything that you like to promote as we shut the doors here at the brunch.
Channeling my inner Allen Iverson. We're talking about podcasts, not a radio show, podcast. Just kidding. Love these podcasts. Thanks for having me. Shout out to TP. Eric, I'm loving ganging up on TP on Laker Talk. This is going to be a lot of fun with you. Absolutely loving it. And I agree with our friend across the pond. Yes, load management. It's hard to load manage when you're sending guys overseas after the NBA game. So going to do this whole load management thing, NBA, Olympics, and all that stuff. Give these guys some time off because, believe it or not, and I know what I'm about to say is completely crazy because it's true, they're as human as we are. So I completely agree with the pond. And every human being, I don't care who you are, I don't care how much money you have, how much talent you have, needs rest, literally, figuratively, totally, utterly. There's no compromising, messing, or disagreeing with that. So give these guys rest. Thanks for having me, TP.
Sports City, don't get used to this guy trying to tag up on me because I'm going to start calling people in here and we're going to annihilate Lakers Nation. It would not happen to me, not here. No way, no how. I'm not happening. Easy, you already know what to do. Give me a plug, close out, shout out as we shut the doors here at the brunch.
Yep, Sirius, Steve, Mr. Jones, Timeless, you already know. Much love and respect. It's a pleasure to be on here doing this with y'all. And check it out, sportscitychefs.com. Awesome new merchandise. Everybody get out there and represent the blogs, the shows. Everybody have a blessed day out there. We appreciate all your support and love. Peace.
Well, Eric already said enough. On that note, tell a friend to tell a fool. This is Chef again. And if they don't know, now they know.
Sports City, Sports City, Chef, Chef. Sports City, Sports City, Chef, Chef. Sports City, Sports City, Chef, Chef. Sports City, Sports City, Chef. Kaboom, Sports City Chefs is in the room, cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman vs. MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again. Sports City, Sports City Chef, Chef. Sports City, Sports City Chef, Chef. Yeah. Cabin. Taj.
Connecticut.